It's good to be back here on the way into El Dorado. I noticed a gym there on the side, and I told my good driver here, I don't see too many of them in Arkansas. He said, no, most of our workouts, the tea glass to our mouth and our fork to our mouth. Hallelujah. That's all right. Better one than none, huh? But seriously, coming from a southern family, I can't help it when I come to the south to throw a few hand grenades, blessings your way. Hallelujah. I tell you, when I go way up in Vermont and they start talking to me in that Yankee accent, I can hardly understand a thing they say, like dog, water. I tell you, it's almost like another language. But then you come, one of them come down here, you almost have to change your English for them. But it's good, seriously, to be back here and see what the Holy Spirit is doing in your lives. Amen? How many glad for the work of the Holy Spirit? I mean, there's no substitute. There's no substitute. So I noticed a bunch of kids on that side row there. You're going to be my target tonight. No, just joking, kind of. I used to teach school, so I got eyes in the back of my head. Hallelujah. I don't care how many smartphones you got. Yes, Lord Jesus. And I've had a good time this trip. I've been up in New York City, then upstate New York, then Arkansas. That's a bit different culture, amen? And I have a spiritual son there that started a church in the ghettos of New York City, and then he has another church he just took over outside the city, so he's got his hands full. And I want to thank God the kingdom of the Lord is growing in the United States. And I have another friend. He has a inner city church in Syracuse, New York. And we're reaching all ages, all races for the kingdom of God. And we're not going to let the devil get us off track. Amen. So here tonight, my friend Mr. Stephen over there was twanging on the keyboard. And He didn't know what I was going to speak. I spoke last night on something in Camden, and we want to look here at one verse tonight. Go to the book of Matthew. It's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew 6. If you give an admonition, a commandment, a direction for believers. Matthew 6:33 is where we're going to start tonight. We're going to look because last night I shared about Jesus, and tonight I want to share about Jesus. But may I say this, if I start opening my mouth, we could be here till this time next year, and I'd only scratch the surface because Jesus is the fullness of God. How God did it to bring the fullness of God in a human body, I don't know, but He did it. Are you glad for Jesus? I said, are you glad for Jesus? And I've had people try to pull stuff on me like, I'm into women's lib. What's Jesus? You know, I'm for women, you know, and on and on. I said, well, Jesus is the perfect fullness of femininity and masculinity because He's the Word made flesh. All of humanity's perfections are found in Christ. Perfect womanhood, perfect manhood, perfect brotherhood, perfect fatherhood. All of the perfections of humanity. Because Jesus, by choice, never sinned. All of us have, by choice. And so the mystery of godliness, that God was made manifest in the flesh, blows me away. How could God, who rules and created the universe, be reduced to the size of a seed of a woman, come in the womb of the Virgin Mary without any human instrumentality, and come into the world sinless, and in 3.5 years of ministry, outdo what the church has done in 2000? I guess God won, because Jesus didn't operate like God on the earth. He operated as the perfect man. Yet He was God at the same time, but He operated as a man. So that gives me hope, because if He operated like God, I can't be God. Some people think they can, but they're delusional. I can't be God, and you can't be God. But I'm glad we can be men and women, and we can, what the Bible says, walk in His steps. So I believe the great need of the church is to have a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? And have some substance. And the only one that can pull humanity together is Christ. Now let me share this. The Bible in the book of Romans teaches that all of humanity fell in Adam. But the hope is all of humanity can be redeemed in Christ. The availability is there that none would perish. But I am not in Adam tonight, because through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been transferred out of the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of God. Are you glad you've been transferred? I said, you don't belong over here. Now, here's what the devil wants Christians to do, to get in Adam. What does that mean? Live in the flesh apart from the biblical teachings of Christ. Live in the flesh without depending on the Holy Spirit. That's why American Christians really need to be careful, because I want to tell you this. I'm not going to take on some political spirit. If you think some unsaved person is going to turn this nation around, you got another thing coming. The turnaround is within our grasp, because if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. We have that authority. Now, our influence puts the right people in places of authority. Amen? But then I've run into people who want to make Jesus a race issue. But here, let me tell you this. Jesus is the perfection of the black race, the white race, the yellow race, the brown race, the Asian race, and every race put together. We need to understand that. So when people are so ignorant to try to make it a racial thing, they don't know Jesus. I said they don't know Jesus. Because when we're in Jesus, we've stepped out of the fallen human race into the redeemed race of the children of God. Are you glad you're redeemed? I said, you're redeemed. Now, tragically, in America, we've had churches in our background and right now today that don't understand this. But I don't care if people are ignorant. I don't want to stay ignorant, because the Bible warns, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. I'm not going to enter into that nonsense. I am not in Adam, though I'm still a human being. I'm not in Adam. I'm in Christ. Are you glad you're in Christ? We set this as a prerequisite. We have to begin to think different. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. You can have a new heart and think like the devil. You can have carnal thoughts. That is, you think like the world. You have a belief system like the world. On and on and on. And I tell you, God wants a people that think the way He thinks. Thinks biblically. Right? Amen. And I've seen this work when people align themselves to the purposes of the new creation that is in Christ. I've seen welfare communities turn around and have miracles, and jobs come forth, and marriages are healed, and children get off dope, and parents live good lives. You know why? In Christ, the curse is broken. Are you glad in Christ, the curse is broken? Outside of Christ, the curse has total access. That's why when I started my ministry in the inner cities, I saw people build new apartment buildings. In a couple of years' time, the people that moved in destroyed them. You know why? You can give someone a new apartment building, but if you don't change the heart, the curse is there. But I'm glad when we come into Christ, we step out of the limitations of a fallen human race. We become redeemed. Are you glad you're redeemed? If you know Jesus Christ, you are. You're redeemed. That is, bought out of the slave market of sin and Satan. You belong to another. That's not a religion. I said that's not a religion. That is the reality of the Spirit of God transforming you. And the book of Ephesians talks about the new man. You see, I'm not in the old man. The communists murdered millions of people trying to produce the new man. But the tragedy of that, you can't produce the new man. It took Jesus dying on the cross to do that. So when He died, He broke the barrier between mankind, and through the blood, we become a part of the new man. The new man, the man Christ Jesus. We're the body of Christ. So I'm not going to step out of the reality of being in Christ to be a Democrat or a Republican. Oh, hallelujah. Tick me since I know too many of them. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. But I tell you what I want to be. I want to be a kingdom man or a kingdom woman, depending kingdom person. And if we don't understand this, we become religious. We hoot and holler and go home and live just like the world round about us. And that's why we got to look at this one verse. Notice this. Here is Jesus talking. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God wants a kingdom people. Jesus died to rule over people. Jesus came to bring us a kingdom. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 1. We're just going to set some foundation here tonight. Mark, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. And after the John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee. I've been there. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here or at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Notice this. Jesus came and said the kingdom of God is here. Why? The king came. His domain came. And God wants you young people to know, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you're in another kingdom. You've been transferred out of the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of the most beloved Son. The kingdom of God is the greatest thing God wants us to grasp as Christians. And that's why Jesus said it needs to be our number one priority. You hear what I'm saying? I'm an American. I grew up overseas. But before being an American, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And when this nation violates this word, this believer is not going to follow this nation. Whether it's an abortion or any other demonic thing, we cannot violate the principles of the kingdom of God. Now, this has got to get strong in the church in this generation. We are kingdom people. Let's repeat that. We are kingdom people. And we've got to preach it, live it, and everything. Because if you go through the whole scriptures, Jesus only mentioned hell a few times. Never used it as a fear tactic either. He mentioned it. And the Bible, hell is mentioned, but it's not mentioned anything as far as the magnitude that the kingdom of God is mentioned. It's mentioned hundreds of times. It's like this. When you get a revelation how wonderful the king and his kingdom is, hell is the last place you want to go or live for. The kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is what the Bible says we need to pursue. Seek first the kingdom of God and right standing with the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen? Seek first the kingdom of God. And tragically, the church has not always sought first the kingdom of God. They've had misplaced priorities. But God's looking for people in North America right now who want to seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. And by seeking first the kingdom of God, we need to have a relationship where we know the king is speaking to us. I had a friend, he went to a foreign nation, and he got there, and the place was no good. It was messed up. And he got before the Lord and said, what can I do to change this? They were so poor, they could only use a former house of prostitution for the church. That's how broke they were. Nobody else wanted it, so they took it over and drove the devil out and had church there. But he was looking for some answers. And I want to tell you this, when you seek the kingdom, it means you want to follow the king. Whether it's business or marriage or ministry or personal life, you want to follow the king. And you know, when Jesus first came to his disciples, what did he say? Follow me. And the end of the Gospel of John, you know what he told Peter and John? Follow me. I guess the Lord doesn't have to say too much because that's pretty plain. Amen? Follow me. How many have had kids? Can I see your hands? You had kids, huh? I've noticed, at least with my kids, I never had to teach them to say no. It was kind of natural. And we had to teach them not to say no when we told them to do things. Amen. They had to learn to obey. But you know, God's kids really need to walk in obedience. Because if we're willing and obedient, Isaiah says, we'll eat the good of the land. Amen. Obedience. In fact, we're here because one man, Romans 5 says, was obedient. and broke the power of disobedience. I'm glad for the obedient Master and Lord of all, Jesus Christ. He came and modeled an obedient lifestyle to the Spirit and the Word of God. But here was my friend, overseas, no money, nothing. And he got before the Lord, and the Lord says, you need to minister to the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, and gave him a plan. So he thought good about that. He didn't realize how that was all going to drop on him, because shortly after he had that visitation, all of a sudden these starving children started coming to church. Some of them didn't even have clothes on. They were just starving like skeletons. The country he was in, Cambodia, had just come out of war. So he was going to take, the pastor said, what will we do? We have to take care of them. And so he didn't have any money, didn't have anything, so he's going to give them to the government. But someone stopped him from doing that, said, God gave them to you, you can't do that. And since the person who told him that used to be an assassin for the government, he listened, hallelujah. But notice this, he got the pattern, and then God brought the provision. And the Cambodians, they started seeing him taking care of these starving kids. And Cambodia had never had a revival, very resistant to Christianity. But they said, we see how you love our children, we want your God. When you seek first the kingdom of God, God first brings the pattern, then he brings the provision, and then he releases the power. Do you want the power of God in this generation? Do you want his provision? We need to seek first the kingdom of God. Have you ever wondered, I used to drive all over the South with my son and wife and daughters, and I'd notice thousands of churches, but no breakthrough in the kingdom. That lets me know that you can have a lot of religion and very little of the kingdom of God. You can have a lot of religion, but a very little breakthrough in the kingdom of God. And then you can go in parts of New England where it used to be revival hundreds of years ago, and you can see all these churches, former churches, that are shut down. Or people have bought them as homes or turned them into stores or bars. It's horrendous when people don't continue walking in the light. May the Holy Spirit make this church a tremendous example of what it is to have believers who are putting the kingdom of God first. May God make this church a church full of kingdom believers, not religious people. You know what I love about the kingdom of God? People I now have as dear friends, before I knew Jesus, we'd have killed each other. Hallelujah! You see, here's the thing about the kingdom. Your heart changes. How many hear that? Your heart changes. You can be involved in religious nonsense and hate people. You cannot be involved in the true kingdom of God and hate anybody. Because the Bible says, if you don't love your brother who you see, how can you love God whom you haven't seen? So the kingdom of God is a kingdom based on love and divine authority that comes out of the example of the obedience of Christ. So we need people in this generation who are really going to sell out to the kingdom of God. Do you want to be such a people? And it's not, you know, it's not manipulated or pressured, but this is a thing from your heart, because Proverbs says, son, give me your heart. God doesn't force you to put the kingdom first. Those who put the kingdom first because they do it by choice. When Satan gets a hold of someone, when they open the door, then they become a puppet. But God's not going to have any puppets. People have to choose to make Jesus Lord, because the Lordship of Christ is one of the marks of someone that's moving in kingdom reality. And what does it mean to be Lord? Well, the Greek word, which the New Testament was written in, the Greek word for Lord is kurios, and that word means absolute owner. So can you see how the only Lord you can have is Jesus? Absolute owner. If Satan controls a life, he destroys it or defiles it. But when Jesus is Lord, he sets a life free, he blesses a life, and he transforms a life to grow more and more like him. Do you want Jesus as Lord? Because if he's not Lord, you will be under an oppressor. And the lordship of Christ is what breaks the legal right of Satan to have any ownership in your life. Now, I've seen many people set free from demonic powers, witchcraft, and false personalities and everything, but I've never seen any of them stay free that don't choose to make Jesus Lord of their life. Because you can't walk around as a vacuum. And may we understand in this generation, God help us, we can't afford to have any place in our life to be a vacuum open to the powers of darkness. I know this pastor, this is upstate New York, it gets real cold there. You don't know what winter is here, but real cold there. And when they have 2 feet of snow, they don't cancel school, so you could imagine what's like. And he went to visit a woman in his church, an older woman. He knocked on her door, heard all this noise, and came in her home. This was in the middle of winter. She had all those windows open, all her windows open. He wondered why, and then he was, oh, I know what. She was smoking before I got here. Hallelujah. Just trying to cover up the way she was. Hear me. Jesus doesn't want cover up. Jesus wants people that are real. So if you still have that hang up, that doesn't mean Jesus isn't Lord. It means you got some areas in which the lordship of Christ has to be worked out. That's why Paul would say, hey guys, work out your own salvation. Isn't it so easy that I can work out your salvation? I mean, I know everything, particularly with my discernment, if I know someone a little ways, I can see exactly what's wrong. Of course, I don't have a mirror in front of me. Hallelujah. It's reflecting on. So it's very easy to see what's wrong with someone else. Amen? Like, for example, we had a great move of deliverance in our church once that I was a part of, and my children went and got delivered. And then I came in the home one day, and my younger daughter, who has a mouth, and she said, Dad? I said, yeah, Anna? She said, we all went and got delivered. I said, oh, that's great. She said, how about you? I said, well, what do I need delivered from? She said, you name it. Oh, help us, Lord. I know down south you might have smacked her upside the head, but you can't deal with the truth. Hallelujah. You see, in the kingdom of God, if you have a love relationship with Jesus, He's never going to leave areas of your life alone. I'll tell you why. Is he a God like a tyrant? My father was like that. No, he's not a tyrant. He loves you like you are. He loves me like I am. But he loves us too much to leave us like we are. Because he wants us to grow. Do you want to grow? Because I want to tell you this. You can sit on your bottoms in church all the time you want and sing songs and never change. You can, and the South is full of that. And I come from a Southern family before we moved overseas. Then I got a European accent, and it got ruined because the last people I lived with were Texans. Y'all know what I mean? Anyhow. But God, if we're in the kingdom, isn't going to leave us in any place we're at, because in the kingdom of God, He wants us to grow. Because as we grow, we become a greater expression of Jesus on the earth. And you know, I've noticed this. Just when I get comfortable, how many hear that word? Just when I get comfortable, the winds of change begin to blow on my life. And so, there's only one being in the whole universe that can say, I don't change. And it's none of us. Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. All of us got to change. How many hear that? And change is not something you put in the offering. We're not going there. But change is where we are now. If we're walking with Jesus, we're not going to be there next year. Where we are next year, we're not going to be where we are the year ahead of us. Because, hear me, God loves us because He has a great plan. And He prepares us to walk in that plan and be used of Him in that plan. Do you want to grow in the kingdom of God? As a church, do you want to grow in the kingdom of God? Now, this is the thing I've learned. Bad times don't cause you to grow. Trials and everything. Except you respond to God. And I've known some people, they go through horrible things and they come out of it stronger than what they went into it. Then I know others, they go through horrible things and they come out of it worse than they went into it. So it's not the horrible things that develop growth, but it's our response to God. May the Spirit of God make us a people that don't go around the same mountains again and again and again. May the Spirit of God cause us to grow in grace and grow in faith and grow in understanding who Jesus is. Because in the kingdom of God, you don't stay. I don't stay as I am now. I got to grow. Let's repeat that word. Grow. And not grow this way. Or this way. In other words, I'm talking about growing this way, spiritually. And there will never be an end to our spiritual growth. Let me go to the book. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. This is a mind-boggling thing. It's, you know, have you ever heard these people sing, "When we all get to heaven"? They don't even know what they're singing about. But anyhow, look here. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at this. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. What does this tell us? In eternity, God's going to be constantly revealing more of himself to us. I'm glad in heaven we're going to keep growing. I'm glad in heaven we're going to always have a deeper revelation of Christ. I'm glad in heaven we're not going to just be walking around with a halo over our head. But we're going to be experiencing eternal life. And God in the, notice this, the ages to come. We're in one age right now, but in eternity there's going to be ages, that is from one period to the next, and time as we know it will be no more. But I want to tell you, there will be eons, ages in which God reveals more of His heart, more of Himself, more of His grace, more of His anointing. Are you glad? We have a heavenly future where Almighty God in His kingdom will make Himself known to us. Now, if I had all the answers to this, I'd be up there and not here. But I'm telling you from the Word of God, even in eternity, we're going to change. We're going to grow. We're going to expand. And there's only one race going to heaven. That's the redeemed race. The redeemed race. Oh, hallelujah. Are you glad we're a part of that redeemed race? Washed in the blood. Indwelt with by the Spirit of God. Eyes to see. I've talked to some people who are very educated who are totally idiotic because they start talking about the Bible and it's like a blind man trying to describe colors. And they make no sense and they think they're making sense. Because I'll tell you this, without the Spirit of God, we can't understand the Word of God. If someone understands something, it's only to open their eyes to get them in the kingdom. But unsaved, unredeemed, unregenerate people that are in Adam, in the kingdom of darkness, they can't see the light and understand the light. But are you glad we're in the light? We've been brought into truth. We've been brought out of darkness. We can understand eternal things. And this is the thing, you know, the only thing I learned in high school was how to get high. It was, at least I learned a few foreign languages. They come in helpful now, useful. But it was a waste. It was good schools. It's just all the kids that were there were full of the devil and we were away from our parents, boarding schools in Switzerland, a waste, a mess, everything else. And I hated school. But may I say this, as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are in school forever because we're in the school of the Spirit. I said, we're in the school of the Spirit. It's no such thing as I don't want to learn. Because someone that has an unteachable spirit, they remain a spiritual baby. And they remain someone that's on a milk diet when Paul said, I want you to get on a meat diet. Hallelujah. I know you guys like meat around here. I had some good ribs Sunday. But anyhow. We're going to be in school forever. You say, well, I was in school, but my teachers just promoted me to get me out of the classroom. Well, I got good news for those type of people from our perspective. If God has to keep you in kindergarten for 20 years, He will. Because hear me, your teacher is the eternal teacher the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, and He knows every trick in the book because He wrote the book. And before you showed up, He dealt with millions of people worse than you. So if you think you're going to get on God's nerves and He's just going to keep promoting you, God doesn't operate like that, because I tell you what brings promotion in the kingdom of God: faithfulness! Not giftedness. Faithfulness! Some of the most gifted people I have known, much better than me in things, have crash-landed, gone nowhere, destroyed themselves. They didn't understand. In the kingdom of God, there is a law that rules. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. And you sow rebellion, you sow laziness, you sow disobedience, on and on and on, everything negative like that. It comes back. It's not God. You are producing your own harvest, because, dear ones, there's no crop failure in the kingdom of God. How many want a good harvest? But we got to plant good seed. In this generation, God wants kingdom people, because the kingdom of God is the answer to every village, town, and city. The kingdom of God has answers to health, race, education, all spheres of life, because it's not going to a building and living a contrary life. The domain of God's kingdom is over all. And when any nation, ours included, yields themselves to the principles of the kingdom of God, blessing come. It sometimes grieves me when I'm up in Massachusetts or Vermont, where my daughter lives, or New Hampshire, where I minister, and seeing these former universities, and on their old buildings, they have "for the glory of God," and then a scripture, and today it's forbidden to talk about Jesus in their classrooms. And they wonder why, out of those schools that produced some of the greatest leaders that were ever on the face of the earth, now we produce some of the most demonic people. You see, the enemy wants to do what he did when Abraham died. Abraham dug wells, and the Philistines filled the wells with dirt. Why? To cause life to stop. But the first thing Isaac did, he redug the wells of his father Abraham. And I believe God's going to raise up people here and elsewhere that are going to reopen wells that Satan has plugged with dirt in this country. Do you want to be people in the kingdom of God who open the ancient wells that were in this nation that once brought blessing and breakthrough and miracles? You see, the kingdom of God, one of the characteristics are people with vision. Let me hear that word. Vision. Sometimes I'm amazed at how young people can get vision. I was overseas with a team, and I was having an attitude because I spent thousands of dollars to get there. And the year before, we had close to 3,000 people, leaders, training them. And this year I got there, there were 400 people. Well, that was quite a reduction, but because the government wouldn't let us have any more because it's election time. But what was worse, I looked out, and I had to get away for a while and pray. Most of them were young people. I said, "Where are the apostles? Where are the pastors?" Da-da-da-da-da. I had a strong team, and everything that could go wrong was going wrong, I thought. So I got up and taught on the gifts of the Spirit, and the other guy he ministered is okay. It wasn't tremendous. Nothing to write home about. So I wasn't the happiest camper. We went on to the next country. But you know what happened? Those young people, after we left, they said this: gifts of the Spirit, we've got to have them. So they organized themselves in different teams, and they started to travel, believing God to manifest healings and miracles and prophecy and everything. They started traveling at their own expense throughout Cambodia, a small country, maybe a little bigger than Arkansas, but it's full of bad conditions and jungles and everything. But they started traveling, temperature like Florida. They started traveling, and you know what happened? God started to give them the gifts of the Spirit, all these miracles. So those young people that I thought was a waste of time, they led, documented, hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. You know why? they had a vision for their life. They weren't just going to be hearers of the Word. They were going to be doers of the Word. And I want to tell you, any of you who will allow the Holy Spirit to put in you the vision that God has, you're going to do something. I said, you're going to do something. Because the kingdom of God is driven by visionaries. Not religious people. Not people with good ideas, but people with God's ideas. So here are these young people. They blew my mind, and what I thought was a waste of time turned out to be one of the most fruitful meetings I've ever had in my life. Fruitful conferences. Because in the kingdom of God, I'll tell you what God's always doing. He's raising up leaders. Do you want to be people that God uses in this generation? Do you want to be kingdom people that change this region? Because, dear people, throughout Arkansas, I've driven here, there, and everywhere before. Now I fly. But I've seen so many churches. But hear me, if they shut down many of them today, would it change your culture, your environment? Not at all. You know why? Religion doesn't threaten the kingdom of the devil, but the kingdom of God does. And a church that is full of kingdom people, all it took for Jesus to change the world was 12 men. One disqualified himself and another was put in his place. 12 men changed the world. Why? They had vision. They had anointing. They were 100% dedicated to the kingdom of God, and nothing would stop them. So when we're talking about we don't have many, or we have few, or we don't have this, well, buildings, money, age, education, that's the thing. When God gives someone a vision, how many hear that? When God gives someone a vision, and it's God-birthed vision, and there are people that put God first and His power gets on their life, nothing can stop what God's going to do through them. Now, I just want to pull this together, and I won't keep you long tonight because we have another service. We'll go further tomorrow. I was once above India in a nation called Nepal, and I was very tired. I'd been on the road for a month over there, and the weather, the food, everything else had got to me. So my son was newly married. That's no longer the case, but pretty newly married, a year or so. And I said, David, go preach in the Bible school today. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take your wife and go shopping. Because she grew up during communism, and you should see her deal with those Muslim shop owners. They can't believe it. She walks over them like a bulldozer. So I love to go with her and see her get the best deal. Hallelujah. It's almost stealing from them. But anyhow, I was enjoying it. We went from shop to shop, and those guys almost needed deliverance when we come and go. But when we were doing that, my son was in a Bible school, and there was a guy there. He'd come out of the remote Himalayan mountains. That makes Appalachia seem like nothing. And 6 months out of the year, you can't even go to where he comes from because of the severe weather, the ice, the storms, the wind. And he had never owned a pair of shoes in his whole life till he came there. People are so tough there, even in the snow, they don't wear shoes. He had never seen indoor plumbing. He'd never been to school, just primitive, ignorant, but he had gotten saved. He heard what God was doing in the school, and he came there, so the director of the school bought him his first shoes, taught him about indoor plumbing, on and on and on, taught him to read like a child, and he got some basic reading. But my son laid hands on him, and the power of God came on this young man, and he was baptized with fire, and he went back to the Himalayas after that, and he started a little church, and then reports got coming back to the school, he had raised at least 2 people from the dead. An ignorant guy, never school, just basic reading. Any of you could outdo him on that. The only problem is he had a vision, and it grew. He said, we're going to have a crusade. God told me to have a crusade. And it was civil war then in Nepal between the communists and the government. And the government forces visited him. They said, if you try to have this crusade, we will execute you. They left and the communists showed up, the guerrillas, and they said, you try to have this Christian crusade, we'll kill you. So he had 2 strikes against him. So he took a bunch of his people way further up in the mountains, We couldn't do that. They went way up there. Their lungs are developed. And they spent weeks in fasting, and one of them had a vision. And in this vision, God said, go have your crusade. So it's either they heard from God or they're going to die very soon. But they started the crusade, and this was a very sparsely populated area. Thousands of people showed up. And the army came and put their machine guns down and saw all the miracles God was doing, blind eyes and cripples. And the communists came and put their guns down and sat down next to the army and viewed the miracles too. Here was a guy, not educated, living in great poverty, things we would say even the poorest of the poor here have. And he didn't know anything about even that. But here's a guy, very little of the world, but much of the kingdom. How many want to be people with kingdom vision? How many want to be people that God can do things through? And so the kingdom of God, what makes us different from the kingdom of the world? The kingdom of the world depends on human qualities and human qualifications. But in the kingdom of God, yes, God can educate and train people and honor, but in the kingdom of God, we depend upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the voice of God and the Word of God. Therefore, there's not one person here that can't have God put vision in you to advance the kingdom of God. And real prophecy brings people to a place of strength or a place of revelation that they hear what God wants for them, and He can use them as citizens and vessels in a kingdom that will never pass away. See, Jesus didn't come and preach the gospel. He came and preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. May the Holy Spirit give us an understanding of the kingdom of God. At the end of the Apostle Paul's life, when he was in Rome, he was only going to live a few years longer, he invited the Jews there. Turn to Acts, this was just quickened to me, chapter 28. Acts 28. Paul invited these Jewish people, leaders, to his house. And notice verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to Paul's house, lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from, notice this, from what? Somebody? Louder, sir? Morning to evening. Sure enough. May I say this? Paul did not have a computer to call up all these scriptures, did he? Somebody? Paul didn't have a concordance because they didn't have any yet. He didn't even have his scrolls there. The Bible says, look here, by memory, Paul started in the morning and he went to the evening and he was telling them about the kingdom of God. May I say this? The Apostle Paul had a vast revelation and knowledge of God's kingdom. So I think if I was teaching in Bible school after a year or so, I'd say, tonight, the only things you're going to be able to use is your Bible and look it over, because tomorrow we're going to meet here, say, 9 o'clock. We're not going to get out till 5 or 6. I want you to start writing from morning till evening. We'll break for an hour for lunch, and if you have to use the restroom. But other than that, all day long, I want you to write about God's kingdom after a year of training. That would find out how deep we are in the kingdom. And I'm glad the kingdom of God is just not a mind thing, an intellectual thing. It's a spiritual kingdom. And it's, though it manifests in this world, it's an invisible kingdom. Because if we could see, this kingdom is going to be the very rule of God that's, yes, entered into here, but it's going to be the rule of God throughout eternity. And so when you go into Exodus, and God says, I want you to be a kingdom of priests. And you see how they rejected this and said, just let the Levites. And yet in the book of Revelation, it says He's made you kings and priests. God has restored what He wanted from the beginning. He wants all His people to be a royal people that minister to Him and for Him. There's a kingdom that's never going to pass away. I said there's a kingdom that's never going to pass away. And our perspective, how we view life, how we view politics, how we view race, how we view sex, how we view money, how we view education, needs to be through the kingdom. Otherwise, Satan has great advantage over us because there are Christians, they love Jesus, but they think like heathens. And their belief system causes what God wants to do to be limited. That's why, if my people. When Israel heeded the principles of God's kingdom, even in the Old Testament, they were the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. And hear me, none of their enemies could destroy them. I tell you, I want to come to that place. I'm the most blessed man on the face of the earth, and none of my enemies can destroy me. How many hear that? When we are kingdom Christians and we align ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the voice of God and enter into the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we become people that cannot die until God is finished with our lives. I said, we cannot die until God is finished with our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I know of a missionary. He was in an African nation, I think it's Zaire, and communist soldiers came in from a neighboring country, and they came to his whole neighborhood, and they started killing men, women, and children. And all of a sudden, that couple got a word from God, and the word was, "He that dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near to you." And the Lord says, "If you will stay in your house, you will be protected this whole time." So they stayed in their house. These communists were there the whole week. They broke into every home, did horrible things to men, women, and children. Bloodshed everywhere. But that whole week, here was an army walking up and down his sidewalk, right next. They never touched his house. They never touched his door. Are you glad there's protection in the kingdom of God? I said there's protection in the kingdom of God because He will give His angels charge over you. And if we die for Jesus, if we die for Jesus, it's because our time to go. But until we are called, if we're in the kingdom, hear me, we're invincible. I said, we're invincible. I know this guy, where's he from? He lives in Florida, yeah. He's an evangelist, an old guy now, if he's still alive. He was on an airplane coming out of the Bahamas, and all of a sudden, he said, "What's that? I smell smoke." And they looked, a fire had started in one of the wings. And the stewardesses started to scream and cry, and the people started to scream, and he sat there, all of a sudden, above all the screaming and yelling, he hollered, "People, stop crying! God just told me He's not done with my ministry, and I'm a man of God, therefore you're going to be all right too." Everybody shut up. Not too long after, they landed in Miami. He got off the plane like a king. Kingdom authority. But he said, "You know what that crazy airplane did?" I said, "No." He said, "They just turned around and took off again. You couldn't pay me to get back on that plane." Hallelujah. So you don't have to be an idiot in the kingdom. Amen. Some wisdom. How many want to move in kingdom wisdom? But nonetheless, it's a good thing to be in the kingdom of God. Because hear me, in the kingdom of God, we have protection. I said, we have direction. And we get correction. So we're not living in the foolishness of this world. We're in something so big that it can't be fit in one nation. It's over all nations. So great, it won't be learned totally of in this time and will have to be entered into throughout all eternity. Because Daniel would say, "Lord, Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom." Oh, hallelujah. Are you glad we're a part of the everlasting kingdom of God? Are you glad we're a part of the everlasting kingdom of God? And He will give us authority to make our enemies prepare a table before us. Hallelujah. He will give us authority over sickness and sin. Because in the kingdom of God, I want to tell you, God is going to display Himself more and more. The kingdoms of this world have limited knowledge, but God has infinite knowledge. The kingdom of this world has finite knowledge, but God has infinite knowledge. The kingdoms of this world, they'll pass away, but because the day will come, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and we will reign forever with Him. There's a kingdom. Jesus proclaimed it. There's a kingdom. People have lived and died for it. There's a kingdom. And so we can lift our heads and shout a shout of victory because we're in something so big that God Almighty is the King and undisputed Master forevermore. Thanks be to God. As we seek first this kingdom, we're going to be blessed when we come in and blessed when we go out. We're going to be people who have supernatural wisdom and direction, and we can expect increased provision. We can expect to become a people that are not going down, but are going to the other side. How many glad you're in the kingdom? How many glad you're redeemed out of darkness? How many glad Jesus is Lord? And so when people try to make fun of Christians and mock the wisdom of God and attack the church of God, I wish them well because they're going to need it. Because many millions of people have tried to destroy God's church and God's kingdom, and not one has or will succeed. See, I end with this tonight. We're in a victorious kingdom. How many hear that word? We're not victims. I said, we're not victims. Whenever I pastored in impoverished communities up near Canada, I couldn't pay my wife to move back there. Hallelujah. 6 to 7 months of winter. Snow, huge snow drifts all the time. Well, the only good thing is they had plows running 24 hours a day in that. I'd call my wife from Florida and she'd hang up on me. In love, of course. Hallelujah. But whenever we brought the kingdom to those welfare communities, two generations or more of people that hadn't worked because all the businesses had left and the lumber industry had gone out. I want to thank God when the kingdom was preached, proclaimed, and the kingdom was demonstrated, healings and miracles and deliverance, and the kingdom was revealed through our lives, transformed life. All of a sudden, all those people got off welfare, got good jobs, got good homes. You know why? The kingdom of God, in its power and in its anointing, destroys the kingdom of darkness. So if we're looking for man to prosper us, get your eyes off man and get your eyes on the King and seek His kingdom first. See, tithing is one of the principles of God's kingdom, and the Bible says it'll lift the curse off your finance and open the heavens over you, and when you sow in the kingdom, sow finances, it releases a harvest of miracles. You see, you produce your harvest in the kingdom of God. Please with your words, please with your thoughts, please with your actions, please with your life, produce a harvest you want. Good news is, if you have a bad harvest, repent and start planting new seed. Because of the increase of His kingdom, there'll be Isaiah 9:7, no end. May the Spirit of God give this church, by revelation, a kingdom mentality. Amen? Because we're the family of God. And we're appointed and anointed to be ambassadors of that kingdom. Do you want to be ambassadors of that kingdom? Do you want to reveal another world? Because wherever the apostles and the Lord Himself came, they brought heaven to earth and they broke the power of hell off the earth, the kingdom of God. From morning to evening, Paul could talk about it and he could have kept going, but people weren't willing to hear it because they wanted to live in their own life, their own kingdom, their own ways. But Jesus didn't come to reveal a religion. He came to bring God's kingdom. And the kingdom of God is all about God and His rule and His Son and His people. Are you honored to be in that kingdom here tonight? Are you blessed to be a people of the kingdom of God? Are you blessed to have a destiny and a call that's beyond our understanding? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And because we're in the kingdom, we have every right to the work of the Spirit of God. I remember being in an orphanage once, and they're putting the kids to bed in Asia. And I said, can I pray for intercession? They were having their little prayer time. They said, oh, yeah. So I released intercession. All of a sudden, God came into that room. It was about 30 kids, maybe more. And there were 2.5-year-old kids all the way up to teenagers, 16, 17. The power of God fell. They started shake like electricity was going on. They weeping and crying. We were shocked. It's like a power came that's not me, and it was surely not them. It was God by His Spirit. And I want to thank God. 15 years later, I look at the fruit of what happened that night. Some of those little orphans that are now pastors have started hundreds of churches. You see, the kingdom of God grows both in quality and in quantity. And God puts His Spirit on men and women that the world would say, no way. And God would say, I'll show you the way. Hallelujah. You have kingdom potential, people. You're not normal people. If you're born again and the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're kingdom people, and the potential of heaven abides in you. Get rid of non-kingdom thinking. Get rid of non-kingdom friends. Get rid of non-kingdom mentalities. Get rid of anything that would hold you back, because hear me, the potential of God through the Holy Ghost and the Word of God is yours. Are there people who want to put the kingdom first here tonight? Are there people who want to follow King Jesus? Are there people who really want to get serious about spiritual things? Are there people that want breakthroughs that nothing can break through? Are there people that want to taste and see the Lord is good? Are there people that want the holy fire of heaven to fall upon you? Are there people that want to have kingdom vision to raise up children and grandchildren that do mighty exploits for God? That's the purpose of a Christian school, is to raise up children that do exploits for God. Not get a worldly education, but get a Holy Ghost education. My wife's a teacher, so I'm for education. But it better be spiritual education, because I don't want people with carnal knowledge that destroy themselves, or they become instruments of the enemy. May the Spirit of God give revelation to you about what the kingdom's all about. Because you're in something so big that nothing can destroy it. You're in something so special that it can only come by being brought in supernaturally. It's called born again. And then you only see the kingdom. You see, like Israel, you got to walk into it. And every place you put the sole of your feet, Joshua 1:3, God's given to you. Please take possession of what God has for you in His kingdom. Amen? He's called us to be a people that enter the kingdom and then reveal the kingdom in power, in love, in forgiveness, in mercy, and in truth. May the wisdom of the King fall upon us in this generation, because America needs to really come back and get into the kingdom of God. And may the Holy Spirit hasten that day, because there's at least 7,000 that haven't bowed their knees to Baal. Abraham, if I only find 10, I won't destroy Sodom. I'm glad there's more than 10. I said, I'm glad there's more than 10. Because God's kingdom is a kingdom of mercy. Could we stand in His presence tonight? Well, this is the first time I ever taught this in Arkansas, so it must be for y'all. What do you think about that, Stephen? Hallelujah. He bopped himself on the mouth Sunday morning driving. I thought, I only do stuff like that. Both the pastor and I were bothering him, and then we said, man, this is a miracle. He can't even talk, but he's singing. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, God has tremendous things to teach us in the kingdom. Do you want to be disciples? Disciples means those that are learning. May the Spirit of God cause people that the world would have said, no way, and God would say, just watch and see. Because it's not by might nor by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And God's kingdom is going to begin to rise in this nation with real miracles through the most unlikely people. Amen? may we know that we're a part of a victorious kingdom. The kingdom has and will always win. In America, it's going to win. How many glad to be on the winning team? How many glad to be on the winning team? How many glad to be in the kingdom? For yours, Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So come into this church and activate and demonstrate kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. And may there be a people that get real serious about putting the kingdom first. You say, it's my money. Not if you're in the kingdom of God, it's not. It's God's money and He lets you steward it. My children. No, there's God's children. You're raising them for Him. It's my time. Redeem the time, because every moment you have is given to you by God. If He's Lord, He's the owner. We aren't. He's the master. We aren't. May a revelation of the Lordship of Jesus fall upon us. And may the love of the kingdom of God, the power of the kingdom of God, and the wisdom of the kingdom of God fall upon you. And may we grow and have vision that only heaven can give us. Because, dear ones, there's a kingdom that's never going to pass away. I said never going to pass away. In eternity, there's not going to be an Israel. There's not going to be a United States. There's not going to be a Russia. There's not going to be a Germany. But there is going to be a kingdom. And there is going to be a new heavens and new earth. And I'm glad in the kingdom right now, we are living and preparing for eternity. And our values are not like the values of this world. Our values are God's values if we're walking in the kingdom. How many want to seek God's kingdom first like never before? And one of the ways we do this is pray, because He said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we become people of prayer, we're walking into kingdom in ways we can't even understand, because we're joining forces with heaven and bringing it to earth. We're binding unseen spirits who render hell on earth, and we bring heaven in their place. May a spirit of prayer, kingdom prayer, come upon this church, and kingdom vision, and kingdom love, and kingdom mercy, kingdom power. Lord, we want your kingdom, and we want to seek it beyond anything else, lest you told us, so all things can be added unto us, Lord. Without any human effort, we call forth the kingdom in this church, in Jesus' name.